I will call the meeting to order, and we don't have a quorum yet, but we have Representative Welty and his testifiers here, so we will go ahead and start, and I will move House File 664 for possible inclusion in the omnibus bill. Welcome, Representative Welty.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Madam Chair and members of the committee, I don't know if you are aware of this, but half of all lifetime cases of mental illness begin by the age of 14, and three-quarters of them by the age of 24. Almost 2 years ago, I was contacted by Kayla Murphy, a soon-to-be high school graduate, who shared with me her experience dealing with mental health issues. Kayla asked me to develop a statewide solution to educate students about mental illness. I agreed to look into this issue because her contact came at a time when I was beginning to notice a very stark trend locally. During the past 6 years I served in the legislature, I have been contacted by friends and family members of several young adults between the ages of 18 and 23 who have taken their own lives by suicide after having coped with various forms of mental illness. In addition, I have been invited to regional forums on mental health issues where the rooms are usually filled, sometimes to standing room only, with individuals of all ages who are trying to cope with mental health issues of their own. Schizophrenia, eating disorders, depression, and anxiety are just a few of the mental health issues. And many of these health issues go untreated, resulting in increased stress on families, job loss, and sadly, death. The bill before you is a solution I developed through a culmination of many discussions with superintendents, teachers, counselors, psychologists, and psychiatrists, and the Department of Education. In addition, I mailed out over 80 surveys to health teachers throughout the state to determine if there was a need for this legislation. And members, many of you send out surveys in your districts, and you know the return rates are pretty low. But the return rate on the survey I mailed out to the health teachers was relatively high. About 32% of the teachers returned my survey. Out of the surveys that were returned, 20% of the teachers responded that they spend less than 3 hours total on mental health education in grades 7 through 12. 23% of the teachers wanted the state to return to having health standards and suggested that a curriculum or additional training to teach mental health education would be beneficial. And I am pleased to report that 57% of the teachers spent 1 to 3 weeks teaching mental health in their classrooms. But approximately 40% of the teachers felt that there was more room to improve the delivery of mental health education. The legislation before you requires the Minnesota Department of Education, in consultation with mental health organizations, to provide assistance and resources to our junior high and high schools throughout the state. It emphasizes that the schools should be reference the national health education standards, the benchmarks of quality teaching, network, and health and physical education, and best practices in mental health education. In addition, the Commissioner of Education will provide a directory of resources to districts to help them in planning and implementing mental health curriculum. But I want to be very clear. In no way does the legislation in front of you mandate any curriculum to our schools. It's simply providing the best practice resources to our teachers so that they can be effective in teaching mental health education in our schools. I believe this legislation will show that the legislature is making a concerted effort to increase the effectiveness of mental health education throughout the state by providing resources to our classroom teachers and our schools. This small step could go a long way towards saving lives and curbing the effects of mental illness. And members, today I have with me to testify. First of all, you're going to have a testimony by YouTube. Kayla Murphy, who is actually the catalyst behind this legislation and the biggest champion for this legislation, is a student at Marquette University, but she was a graduate of Plainview Elgin Millville Schools, and so she's going to be testifying to you through YouTube today. And then Molly Donovan, a student at South Minneapolis High School, will also testify, and finally we'll wrap it up with a presentation from NAMI. and Sue Abderholden is here to provide some statistics and numbers for you. But I will now turn it over to Kayla and allow her to tell you her story.
To thank the chair and representatives of the Minnesota House of Education Committee for hearing this bill. I'm Kayla Murphy, and on May 10, 2008, my aunt lost her life to anorexia nervosa and depression. Growing up, I watched her abuse her body and sleep away her life. I wondered, why didn't she just eat? It's so easy. I, nor my family, understood her battle. That is, until the fall of 2006, when I myself was emergency hospitalized with anorexia nervosa, obsessive compulsive disorder, and depression. Over the past 4 years, I have learned that mental illnesses are not so mental at all. No, mental illnesses are just as physical as cancer. However, unlike cancer, each victim must fight his or her own battle. There is no chemotherapy and no tumors other can find and remove. Unlike cancer, there is a stigma for mental illness and its prey. Mental illness is a fight between a person and his or her own mind. Support is the only thing others can give to help. However, without knowledge, support is the opposite of helpful. It is detrimental. By telling my aunt to eat and explaining to her the emaciated figure of her body, my family and I thought we were helping. Now it's clear that we were helping the wrong side, the mental illness. If my family and I had learned about her illnesses, perhaps we could have helped save a life. From the day I became a mental illness victim, I made it my goal to not only overcome my own obstacles, but to use my experience to help others do the same. Despite my own fight, I serve in the line of duty of many others. Because I understand, I can help. I am, however, running out of hands. In 2008, I read an article regarding a French bill banning extreme thinness on its runways. It was a step in the right direction, but it was not close enough to home. I remember Representative Welty urging us as students to come forth with public concerns. I didn't hesitate with this offer. Asking the Minnesota Department of Education to work with mental health organizations to compile best practice resources and make them available to teachers for use throughout the state is only a small step forward. Nevertheless, it is more than I can do alone. I define success as making a difference in just one person's life. I couldn't make a difference in my aunt's. I didn't know how. Not understanding is a mistake I do not have to make twice. But I need your help. Take a moment to think about your own life, and then take a look around. You or the person sitting next to you may have a mental illness plaguing their life. Without knowledge, however, you would never know. Almost every individual knows of someone struggling with mental illnesses. More so, almost every individual is helplessly watching that victim struggle. Mental illnesses not only hurt their victims, but everyone else around them. There are two choices. We can stand still and watch, or we can stand strong and fight. For every second of pain I watch, another part of me hurts. I cannot stand it any longer. I hope you will help me fight this battle by teaching Americans the fact of mental illnesses. No one should have to do this alone. Thank you for your consideration.
Wonderful student working with a wonderful teacher.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And now I'll turn it over to Molly Donovan, again, a student at South Minneapolis High School.
Thank you. Ms. Donovan.
Hello. Good afternoon, Madam Chair, members of the board. Like Representative Welty said, my name is Molly Donovan. I'm a senior at South High School in Minneapolis and one of the student leaders of our Silver Ribbon campaign. Silver Ribbon is a student group focused on teaching students about mental health and the elimination of stigma surrounding mental illnesses. In recent years, member size has risen from 7 students to between 60 and 80. The students of the Silver Ribbon campaign want it known that the education in Minnesota's public schools concerning mental health is dangerously lacking. We vehemently believe that a more effective and informative subcurriculum discussing mental health and mental illness needs to be put in practice in all Minnesota public middle and high schools. Every single person is affected to some degree by mental illness. That may mean they have a disorder or know someone struggling with one. At South High, we are lucky to have a large group students can turn to with their questions and curiosities about mental health. However, many more students have no information about it. This is a flaw in the school system because many times mental illnesses become prevalent during the adolescent years, and students deserve to be educated about mental illnesses in case they develop one. If better education concerning mental health is in place, this will encourage better peer support and sensitivity, better understanding from teachers, and it will give the students resources and information necessary to communicate to their families and caregivers. Students with mental illness often have a very difficult time relating to their classmates, making them feel alone and abnormal, and they can have difficulty managing good grades. In the creation of a stronger mental health curriculum, it is the hope that students will become more empowered to find help about mental illnesses in all schools. The curriculum should include, but not be limited to, identification of various illnesses, the treatment of illnesses, how to find help, and teaching about tolerance for those with mental illnesses. At South, the Silver Ribbon campaign has been a way for proactive students to find answers to their questions. But more of Minnesota students need the same opportunity. We have learned invaluable information to tell our friends and parents to make the world of mental illness a less scary place. The success of the Silver Ribbon campaign is due to the fact that there is a need for information in the student population. The students demand information. We deserve to be informed. The movement of this bill is imperative to the wellness of Minnesota's youth. This is an essential step in the movement to eliminate mental health as a taboo and transform it into an open topic for discussion. Thank you for listening.
Thank you very much, Ms. Donovan. It must be quite a powerhouse group, the Silver Ribbon Campaign, because I've heard, I think you're the third student who's in that group, or maybe the fourth or fifth, I'm not sure, but I know we just had another stellar, spectacular student like yourself when we had the hearing last week at Patrick Henry High School. So you're in a wonderful group and a wonderful representative of the group. Thank you.
Thank you.
Ms. Abderholden.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. Sue Abderholden, NAMI, Minnesota. And I just want to echo what's been said. It's kind of hard act to follow with two wonderful students. But it really is important to educate students about mental illness, whether it's recognizing symptoms in themselves or their friends, or dealing perhaps with a family member who is living with a mental illness. Stigma is still unfortunately there. There continues to be a silence around it. Our national office did a study on depression, and they found that almost 20% of the public consider the illness a sign of personal weakness, and 23% would be embarrassed to tell others if a family member were diagnosed with depression. 55% of the public sample would be uncomfortable dating a person diagnosed with depression. So, you know, unfortunately, there's still a stigma surrounding it, and it's something that I think we should break down, especially knowing that the earlier you intervene, the better the outcomes. Educating our youth about the biological basis of mental illness, effective treatment, and the brain is a simple but important step towards reducing stigma, as well as making sure that those who need help can and will get it. According to the 2007 Minnesota Student Survey, nearly 22% of the 9th grade girls and a little over 15% of the 12th grade girls reported suicidal ideation. It also found that 14% of all students in grade 9 and 11.5% in grade 6 felt sad all or most of the time in the past month. When students understand mental illness, it makes the whole environment more supportive for those students who actually have a mental illness. As several of you met my daughter, who came and testified here several years ago about screening for depression in the schools because she had had a suicide attempt, and she just felt like it would have been easier to come back to school if other students really understood what mental illness was. And I think we know from talking to the students at South High that they would say the same thing, that if one of them had been hospitalized for their depression or other mental illness, it made it easier to come back to school because they know that other students understood what they were going through and empathize with them. So thank you very much, and I hope you'll support the bill.
Thank you. Ms. Abderholden, Representative Tilbury.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just have a comment and then a question. Representative Welty, I'm glad that you're bringing this forth to show what is happening in our schools. But it does beg a question for me, and that is, is there a correlation when we're talking about mental health and our mental wellness of kids that we're 50th in the nation for counselor to student ratio? Is there a correlation to what's happening with our kids with that type of, you know, lack of student support services for our kids? And when you hear a YouTube representation from a student that is in Plainview, Elgin, Millville, and by the way, I got my start as a counselor at Elgin Millville before it merged into Plainview. But I just wanted to know, is there a correlation to that? Are we servicing our kids appropriately?
Ms. Abderholden.
Madam Chair, Representative Tilbury, I guess I would have to agree that we need more support services within the schools, whether it's school counselors, school social workers, just the whole array of mental health professionals providers, so that kids get it. I think, you know, we certainly heard at the hearing at Patrick Henry that having school-based mental health clinics were really a great way so that kids can get the treatment that they need, with parental permission, of course. But we do need to make sure that we have some place for kids to go when they're having problems.
And I think I remember, Representative Tilbury, from the hearing at Patrick Henry, and maybe Ms. Donovan or Ms. Abderholden can help me see if I remember correctly, but I think I remember that, didn't we have a question about why aren't there silver ribbon campaigns in more schools? And one of the reasons that there are not is they haven't had this continuous mentor in the way of a staff person like they have had at South. Ms. Abderholden, am I remembering that right?
Yes, Madam Chair, your memory is perfect. That's true. NAMI has offered to actually work with schools on this, and we found that the reason it works in South High is actually because of a school social worker who's here, Eva Newbeck, who's been constant there and a real support for the kids, but it's been totally student-led. But we need someone there to kind of support that effort in going on, and we've not had that luck in other schools.
Thank you, Ms. Abderholden. And everyone at the table up here should remember that. My memory is perfect. Representative Detmer.
Yeah, thank you, Madam Chair. And Representative Wilty, have you checked with the Department of Education? Are they on board, number one? And have you looked at the national standards, number two?
And I'll call on Representative Welty, but also we are having testimony from the department once we finish with legislator questions. Representative Welty.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and actually thank you, Representative Detmer, for raising that good question. I have a couple of things I want to say in response to that. First of all, the language that you see in front of you, the vast majority of it was developed by the Department of Education, because I came forward with a couple proposals. At first, I had a mandate for a certain number of hours. We knew, of course, the legislature wouldn't want to go down that path, especially with the budget that we are facing. And so we worked together and came up with this language in front of you. The second thing is, yes, I did copy off the national standards that are actually referenced in this legislation. And I went through them, and I'll just tell you that they're standards. And as a teacher, and many of you are teachers around the table, as a teacher you'll know, standards tell you what you should meet. Standards don't tell you how to teach it. And there's a letter in your packet, and I just want to reference this because I did not ask the teacher to take off another day of school or half day to come in and talk to you, but in your packets you have a letter. It's dated February 22nd, and I want to draw your attention to the second to last paragraph. And this letter comes from Lisa Hansen. She's a health educator at Red Wing High School. In Red Wing, a few years ago, there was a student who took his life by suicide. His parents then raised funds and sent the health teacher to a training. And she went to a really, really good in-depth training at Johns Hopkins University. And this is what she learned, and I think it's a really powerful statement, and this is shedding light on why we're doing this. Second to last paragraph, she says, "I hope you will understand that not just any curriculum should be taught. Through my training, I learned that many of the current curriculums and textbooks actually unintentionally encourage suicide. I don't believe that the state or anyone else should mandate which curriculum to use, but teachers need to be educated in mental illness."
Representative Detmer.
Madam Chair, just follow up. Maybe the department will be answering my next question. Is has there been a poll of school districts that are teaching the mental illness curriculum?
Representative
Welty. Were you in here when I provided my testimony at the beginning? Because I did send out a survey, and I, as part of how I developed this legislation and working with the Department of Education, is through the survey I did It's an informal survey, but I sent it out to the mental health teachers or the health teachers throughout the state and asked them for input back on mental health education.
And Madam Chair, the number that you sent out, how many responded to that survey?
Representative Welty. We did go through this already.
Okay. Yeah, as I talked about earlier,
I apologize.
I sent out 80 surveys, and 32% of the teachers responded, so I think it was somewhere roughly around 25 to 30 surveys came back, which is a really good return rate for a survey, as you know.
And Madam Chair, I'm sorry I was late. Sorry.
Representative Detmer, yes, you were, but that's all right. Yeah. You're usually more timely than most of this crowd. Representative Ward.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you for bringing up the question that I asked at the hearing at Patrick Henry about the silver ribbon, because it is, and I said this at the hearing, that, you know, when we empower young people, has been done at the Minneapolis South School, you have done very, very wonderful things, it sounds like, and I think I said to Miss Cardinal, I think her name was that day, I challenge her to, for all of you to go out and make a difference, not only within your own school, but in other schools. And so keep up the good work. Representative Welty, thank you for bringing this forward. I just want to piggyback on Representative Detmer's comments. When I taught a few years ago, I had a health teacher by the name of Miss Nicholas in my building, and I was in a ninth grade building, and she did an unbelievable job in her health class. And one of her main focuses was mental health issues and preparation. And she actually had a number of us come in as guest speakers, including myself, to deal, because I was the emotional behavior disordered teacher that dealt with a lot of mental health issues as well. And she spent a lot of time on that issue. When she transferred to the high school and the classes were, the requirements were cut back for FIAD and health, there was less time to cover issues that were important, that are important for our kids. And guess which issue got pulled back on? Mental health issue. So, you know, as we have cut back on requirements of our state and FIAD and health, some areas have unfortunately taken the back burner, and one of those being mental health. So, Representative Welty, thank you for bringing this forward. And Representative Detmer, I know that you and I have teamed up and talked about FIAD and health in the past, and that we need to again make that area, health and FIAD, an area that is once again dealt its due process equitably in the state. So, thank you for those. Allow me to make those comments.
Thank you, Representative Ward. Representative Biskins.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Welty, just so we get clarification on your intent, on line 1.6, you say the legislature encourages the district, and then on line 1.7, you use the word must after instruction must be aligned. Is it your intent that the word must only applies if the district chooses to include instruction in mental health?
Representative Welty.
Representative Biskins, that is how I would read it, yes. That we are not mandating a curriculum. If they choose to take up that curriculum, and this is coming from the Department of Education, and this is their language, essentially what we're saying is that we're encouraging you to use mental health education curriculum, and if you do, then you should align it with those standards.
Representative Biskin.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative, you might want to finagle those words to make it a little clearer. I know lawyers like to have fun when things, so there's the slightest bit of gray area. Representative, then I do have another question. When we say, and you quoted the line in the letter, the second to the last paragraph in the letter, where the teacher says, I don't believe that the state or anyone else should mandate which curriculum to use, and yet there is as near a mandate of which curriculum to use in the bill itself when you say that the instruction must be aligned with local health and physical education standards into the district's existing programs. So The physical education standards at this time, are they local standards, or and so then you would have a concern if the state adopted national physical education standards and told school districts that that must be their standards?
Representative Welty.
Thank you, Chair Grayling, and to Representative Biskins. At this time, the physical education standards are developed locally.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And then just one final comment, and I guess it's not to the bill. I appreciate strongly what you're trying to do, Representative Welty, but to the members of this committee. Now, I think we have to be careful about our relationship with schools and school districts, and we have to start thinking about some fundamental changes because, looking at our state's budget, right, and while I hope we can prioritize our state spending to the Constitution, which would raise education to the top three in priorities, I'm not so sure we're going to be able to do that. And we may somewhere down the road actual reductions in the area of education. I don't know how long the legislature can hold education harmless. And if we're going to reduce the funding to schools, we also have to look at the mandates, the recommendations, the encouragements that we put on schools. We're going to have to let them have the flexibility to make the best cost effective decisions within their district and trust that they know and love the children in their district as much as we could possibly know and love the children in their district. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Representative Biskins. Representative Mariani.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And members, we heard House File 664 in the Policy Committee last week, I believe it was. And just a couple of quick things. I just want to commend the author. I know that and this is partly Representative Biskin's thoughts here, which should be taken seriously, but I would say that the author, I think, worked awfully hard to make sure that that he was shaping a concept that still accomplished a very important goal here in terms of, and one of the things that I learned is, and it's too bad we don't have Ms. Hansen here. She was an incredible educator at Red Wing, if I recall it, and incredibly passionate and committed to serving her students well in terms of providing a very strong environment under which mental illness can be demystified. And the ruling paradigm here really is how do we bring the community of people that exist in a school, which includes the students, into changing the dominant culture that we have, unfortunately, still, psychological culture in our society that stigmatizes this disease, which only further compounds the problem and creates tragic outcomes. And what we heard from her is that the issue isn't so much about the state telling teachers what to do as much as teachers wanting much stronger tools and shapes and directions for to be able to engage in those conversations with their students. As Representative Welty worked this bill, what started out as a possibly a pretty heavy mandate really turned into a much more collaborative relationship, I believe, as represented by the bill before us, between the state and our K-12 systems in a way where we're providing some value added in a very important public health arena. And Representative Biskins, there's no doubt that our K-12 school districts do care about the mental health of our students, but by the same token, I think they also look for the state for some kind of uniform set of guidance and tools to be able to shape and inform what is a very difficult conversation for us, to, even in this day and age, to continue to have. So, Madam Chair, I'm sorry I'm taking too long. I just wanted to really share with the members that we spent quite a bit of time in Policy Committee discussing particularly the design here, and then started to dabble a little bit into the the issues of mandates and costs to the state and school districts. And I would hope that our conversation then quickly shifts into that latter discussion in the Finance Committee here.
Thank you, Chair Mariani. And it is, we did have this very in-depth discussion in the Policy Committee, and there's nobody more that would like more than I to make this more than just encourage districts. But because we have financial straits, as Representative Biskins pointed out, we get, we have to deal with the times. And so Representative Welty has done that very well. I don't see any more members on the list except for Representative Depke. And then we're going to bring up the department, and we have at least one person who wants to testify. Is there anyone else besides Dr. Ephraim who cares to testify on this bill, for or against? Okay? So we have two more people. Representative Depke, you'll be the last legislator until we get our testifiers.
Thank you. And I was also late, Representative Greiling, so I apologize for that. So you might have already discussed it. I think probably my question, which is a financial question, will be answered by the Department of Education, because I'm looking at the $44,000 cost approximately to them. Also, there are unclear costs, I think, for the district. So since Madam Chair, you put me on the mandate committee, the unfunded mandates, 2 years in a row. It's your fault that I'm asking these questions.
Reps of depth, you're well-trained, and so ask away.
So I will be asking Representative Welty if we've covered this with our local school districts. We don't have to do it now. We can hear the Department of Education's testimony first. So thank you very much for allowing me to speak.
Thank you, Representative Depke. I think we will have Mary Thiessen-Milder from the department is on the list. Is she here or someone else? And I don't even know if I'm pronouncing Thiessen right. I'm just going by how Representative Thiessen pronounces his name, and it seems to be the same spelling. So I don't know which person is first.
Madam Chair, members, I'm Amy Wallstein. I'm the Government Relations Director for the Department of Education. And we're here, we want to let you know that we recognize the benefits and value that the knowledge and understanding of mental health education can provide for Minnesota students. And we want to thank Representative Welty for his work on this important issue. We have reviewed the legislation, but we may need to clarify with Representative Welty as to the development of this particular language. We do have some concerns with the current iteration, and we're going to be working with Representative Welty as to this. With me today is Mary Thiessen-Milder. Is that right? She is the Department of Education's content specialist on health and physical education, and she's going to share some information on the current manner in which health education is delivered in Minnesota and some additional considerations relating to the potential fiscal nature of this as you discuss this bill.
Okay, Ms. Thiessen-Milder.
Madam Chair, members of the K-12 Education Committee, my name is Dr. Mary Thiessen-Milder, and I do work at the Department of Education. I've been in school improvement, and I am health physical education, and I've been in this field for 30 years. I'm going to discuss two major components of the bill as we've worked ourselves through it. House File 664 encourages districts to improve instruction in mental health for students in grades 7 through 12. Instruction must be aligned with local and health and physical education standards and integrated into a district's programs, curriculum, and general school environment. Currently, health education content is determined by a local school district. Typically, there are 10 traditional health topics that a traditional health education program would deal with: substance abuse, alcohol, nutrition, mental health, social health, personal health, prevention and control of diseases, injury prevention, safety. By design, these topics are meant to be integrated within standards. I'd like to be able to tell you how much time teachers are devoting to these topics. However, since curriculum and assessment are locally driven, MDE doesn't have any data to tell you how much time is given to any of those topics. I'd also like to be able to tell you how much health education students are actually receiving in our state. But that is an issue as well, as we don't collect that information because all those things are locally determined. Health education is struggling to provide comprehensive education due to state and federal accountability tests. Often districts have to prioritize specific community needs through various data resources. Teachers will sit down and look at their student survey data and other data and determine what the priority areas their students in that particular community need to hear about this particular year and prioritize, because often they can't cover everything. It's worthy to note that over the years there have been different content or topic health education legislations introduced. Such topical legislation addresses a single education topic and opens the door to a multitude of health education topics that the legislature could mandate districts to address. The second point on the legislation is that the Commissioner of Education, in consultation with the mental health organizations, shall provide assistance to districts on age-appropriate model learning activities that address mental health components of the National Health Education Standards, as well as a directory of resources for planning and implementing age-appropriate mental health curriculum and instruction. MDE is concerned with the shall language in the bill for the following reasons. Mandating MDE cost to develop a curriculum model and directory of resources will be a cost to the department. Currently, MDE does not have such a resource. Steps that would need to be taken include research, what other states are doing in this field, determining the research-based components and best practices of mental health curriculum and instruction. The fiscal note anticipates that we may need 0.35 FTE to add personnel to implement these tasks. There is also an MDE cost in consultation with mental health organizations as the development of guidance document occurs, as well as creating a directory of resources for planning and implementing age-appropriate mental health curriculum and instruction in grades 7 through 12. MDE does recognize the importance of all health education topics as part of a comprehensive health education topic. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Representative Van Zels.
Thank you.
Madam Chair. To the testifier from the department, I listened very carefully, and what I'm hearing, unfortunately, is the same tired old line, good idea, no money. I believe you should be doing this just as a service to school districts. Your mission is to provide technical assistance. Certainly, this is an area where slight nudging of school districts and the providing of technical assistance just might encourage districts to do good things. And I think that that's an important job of the state agency. And in all of the testimony that I've heard from department personnel since I've been here, it's that technical assistance and intergovernmental relationship that I don't hear enough from the department. And lastly, because this is the Finance Committee, and because I listened closely to the presentation by the department about the federal financial participation with the stimulus package, certainly you can find $30,000-$40,000 to at least get started in providing the districts this technical assistance. Certainly there has to be a way to and some flexibility with the federal funding in order to accomplish this. So I really think you should try.
Thank you, Representative Anzalez. Representative Welty.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I was contacted by the Department of Education with, I think, a couple hours before the testimony, and that they had wanted to talk to me. And good thing was is that they acknowledged, you know, that the language here was developed by them, and there are a couple word changes in there, and we'll continue to have discussions about that. But when I received the fiscal note, because I requested the fiscal note because I wanted to find out just where the cost was going to be in this, I have to say that I went through this fiscal note and found a number of areas in which an intern, because in the state legislature, many of us have interns come in and help us. There are several items in here I believe an intern could do. And not only that, I did talk to the department about, this fiscal note went above and beyond what I was imagining and how much resource and time would be devoted to this. First, I'd like to point out that I think that the Department of Education probably could work with mental health organizations to develop the lists, the contacts, so not all of it had to be centralized within the Department of Education. It should be a partnership working together here, which could reduce the cost. Not only that, again, look at bringing in an intern or somebody else to work on this, or ask the mental health organizations to help with some of this work that's outlined in here. And Representative Biskins, I just want to get back to your point. It's a very valid point. And we started out, like I said, in the beginning, my legislation was pretty heavy-handed. And so I worked with a lot of people to try to come up with something. And what we have come up with here is saying, the Department of Education, first of all, we want the state legislature to make a comment on this in our legislation and say this is a top priority, providing at least resources to school districts. Yes, we are asking the Department of Education to provide resources, but it's providing resources. In no way do we mandate that the local school district has to go out there and buy a curriculum. We're providing resources to link up teachers with the best practices so that we can hopefully encourage teachers to provide better mental health education around the state, saving lives. And I don't agree with the fiscal note that's in front of me.
And Representative Welty, when you were mentioning that the mental health organizations could help, just for the record, Ms. Abderholden was shaking her head, yes. But when you were mentioning that the department was helping you with the language, Ms. Wallstein was shaking her head, no. So who did you work with? Representative Welty.
Well, I'll just say that over the time, I've worked with a couple people at the Department of Education, and faces have changed. So I can provide you with the emails that go back where this legislation, this language, came from the Department of Education. Like I said, there were a couple words changed. For one thing, I added in there that they worked with mental health organizations. I proposed that early on. They took it out. I think that's critical that you work with mental health organizations to figure out what the best practices are out there. But the vast majority of that language that's in there, 90 to 95% of it, came directly from someone at the Department of Education, and I can provide that email here. So evidently there's a gap in the people I was working with last session and this session at the department.
Well, Representative Elke, I have every faith that you worked with someone, and that's why I just wanted to get that out on the record as well. And I don't know that we need the email, but it would be important to us to get that straight, you know, with what we're seeing. Ms. Wallstein, what were you trying to say with your head shake there?
Madam Chair, I am new to the department, and I may not have all of the information that from last session, so that's why we'd like to work with you to clarify as to where the language came from. Representative Denzel's point, we will certainly look into whether federal money would be available for this. I don't know that answer, and we will consult with the department as to whether federal money would be available for this. There's also been discussion of interns. We currently don't have a budget for interns, but that's something else that we could certainly look into and what resources we would have within the department so that we could be helpful in implementing this, because we do recognize the importance of this legislation and would like to, you know, assist Representative Welty with developing language that will enable us to do so.
So Representative Welty was working with someone, but you weren't aware of it because you're new. So, but it's not that he wasn't working with someone, just to get that clear. I wanted to ask about the stimulus money. I know that it does include money for mental health. And is that for K-12 or only early childhood?
We will have to look into that and answer, Madam Chair, and get back to you.
Ms. Abderhold, do you know? No. Okay. If you could get that for me, I would very much appreciate it. We have two legislators. Then we're going to hear from Dr. Ephraim. And then I'd like to wrap this bill up. We have two more. Representative Detmer, followed by final legislator, Representative Mariani. Representative Detmer.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And for Ms. Milder, I know we've worked together over the summer on the physical education standards, but thank you for being here today. If we have the national health standards, how much would that cut the cost of developing our state standards in terms of if we would follow with the national health standards? And again, these are just standards where the local teachers would really come up with the actual how they would write their curriculum. So would that cut the cost on the department's cost?
Ms. Dr. Thiessen-Milder.
Madam Chair and Representative Detmer. Right now, with local implementation, I know many schools are using the National Health Education Standards as their local standards. The National Health Education Standards are skills-based and knowledge-based. They're not topic-based. So, like all of those topics I read off, the drugs, the alcohol, all that stuff are meant to be integrated within those national standards. I don't know in the fiscal note if there was any cost associated with standards in the fiscal note itself. So.
Okay.
Representative Detmer.
Madam Chair, and again, point out Representative Biskins, I agree with his statement, definitely. If you look at that last, or the second to last paragraph that the teacher wrote, that last part of it was, teachers need to be educated on mental illness. And maybe the in-service that teachers get staff development, and that should be part of helping teachers understand mental illness too. So, just a comment.
Thank you. And we did pass that legislation a couple years ago, I believe. Representative Mariani, and then we're going to take Dr. Ephraim, and then a final statement from the author. Representative Mariani.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And, I think this is probably more a comment than a question, but I think this is a really important point for us, and I want to thank again my colleague from the North, Representative Ansel Sells, because we raised a related issue on this when we heard a discussion about federal grant programs. And if you recall, I queried the department at that point and asked them what percentage of their overall staff are dedicated to doing work that flows from federal grants and federal expectations. 53% of the department. We have a state department whose primary staff, as captured by time, is spent doing federal work. And I don't, naturally, I don't raise this issue to beat up on the department. These representatives before us are fine representatives. Ms. Thiessen, you've been there for a number of years doing terrific work. I never hear nothing but good things from folks in the department. But this is an important issue for a state legislature to understand and grapple with. I meet with superintendents just like you do. I meet with school board members from all over the state, and they almost always will say, we really want a state department of education that works with us in providing the kind of technical help that we used to get at one time. And Ms. Thiessen referred to the pressing of time related to state and federal accountability testing issues. That's a very real phenomenon. Now, that's important, but we should not, I would argue, we should not be in a position where we're picking apart little important things like this. Boy, I wish you had heard Ms. Hansen. She's lost two or three students in her brief tenure as a teacher. This is real thing. This is real life stuff. Teachers are asking for this kind of assistance and help. Representative Welty has structured a bill that in many ways tries to do that by minimizing the cost issue here. And Madam Chair, I would say to the department at this point that this is a whole new time and era. And the answer cannot be that the department no longer wants to provide the technical assistance because there isn't $40,000 or $30,000 sitting around somewhere. The governor managed to find quite a bit of money that he's going to carve out to rededicate within the department, and to get some savings. I don't know what the numbers are, but I know there's money there. But the point is, Madam Chair, the department should not be arguing this point. The department should be doing is saying, we're going to redesign how we do business in this department. And what we hear from teachers and from superintendents is that we want technical assistance to help Minnesota students. We're going to find a way to do that. And so I apologize for the speech here. Madam Chair, I don't often do this. I'm pretty quiet. I'll listen, but this is a vitally important issue, as captured by Representative Welty's practical bill here, for us as a state legislature to reclaim our Minnesota Department of Education to be what it should be, which is a powerful resource for our K-12 schools and the service of our students. And Representative Welty, I hope that you and the department continue to have meaningful discussions so that we can get this fiscal note down to what I think should be a much more reasonable expectation.
Thank you very much, Representative Mariani. You're beginning to sound like the finance chair, and that's good,
I
too.
I apologize.
So anytime you can expound on this topic and fiscal notes that we don't like. Dr. Ephraim.
Good afternoon, Madam Chairwoman and members of the committee. My name is Karen Ephraim. I'm here on behalf of EdWatch. Although EdWatch appreciates the concerns of the author and the proponents of this bill for the mental health issues facing Minnesota's youth, there are several concerns and questions that must be addressed. And you've spent a good deal of time talking about the fiscal note, but I will also point out that the note says that there will be costs to districts as well for implementing this, and that for doing such things as aligning model curricula with locally developed curriculum, reviewing model learning activities, measuring the impact of instruction, etc. But those costs cannot be estimated, and we're not aware of any districts that have spare money right now. Much less complying with, it's not a mandate, it's an encouragement. But still, and I would just point out that previous bills to mandate or encourage other types of curricula have failed because of cost and also invasion of local control. So I just ask you to keep that in mind. The other question that we have is, who will choose the mental health groups that will be involved in helping to implement this? Who will monitor to ensure that the information presented represents the current research and controversies regarding diagnosis and treatment of mental illness in children and adolescents? And how much will that cost? I'll give you just one example. The national health one of the national health standards says, students will demonstrate the ability to access valid health information and health-promoting products and services to enhance health. The accompanying benchmark from the department and the Teacher Quality Network says that students are to, quote, describe situations requiring professional health services, with an example activity being to, quote, interview healthcare professionals concerning signs of depression, end quote. Yet, you have significant professional controversy by seminal national and international groups. For instance, the authors of Psychiatry's Diagnostic and Statistical Manual says, quote, DSM-4 criteria remain a consensus without clear empirical data supporting the number of items required for the diagnosis. Furthermore, the behavioral characteristics specified in DSM-4 remain, or despite efforts to standardize them, remain subjective. The World Health Organization, in its seminal report on mental health, said, childhood and adolescence being developmental phases, it is difficult to draw clear boundaries between phenomena that are part of normal development and others that are abnormal. And the Surgeon General's report on mental health said, the diagnosis of mental disorders is often believed to be more difficult than diagnosis of somatic or general medical disorders because there is no definitive lesion, laboratory test, or abnormality in the brain tissue that can identify the illness. Now, I didn't hear the proponent's testimony here, but I did hear it in the policy committee, and it is made to appear that diagnosis in mental health is extremely exact. And I just want to point out that that is not the case. And if there's that much difficulty in the professional realm by the national and international groups, how is it that we're going to develop reasonable standardized curriculum that deal with these kind of controversies? And the same is true regarding treatment. The testifiers in the policy committee said that drug treatment, or made it seem as if drug treatment is the only and best way to treat mental illness. Yet a study was published in the Journal of the American Medical Association, reported on in Newsweek just in January, stating that antidepressants are no better than placebo for the treatment of mild to moderate depression, which encompasses the vast number of cases for which they are prescribed. Yet these drugs are under the FDA's black box warning, the strongest warning short of a ban in the U.S. because of suicidal thoughts and feelings caused by the drugs themselves. And this is for people up to age 24, which is the exact age group that you're going to be talking about treatment to in, you know, 7th through 12th grade. There are 3,300 media reports of suicide and violence related to just the antidepressants. And so who's going to be talking about those kinds of issues with our students? Again, as I said in the policy committee, there's no other area of health or education that is more open to being used for politically based indoctrination or labeling. And it's done by both sides of the aisle, and it's done in schools.
Just to give you a time check, you've got one more minute, because
we've
got two more bills.
I will abide by that.
Thank you.
The Federal Safe and Drug-Free Schools Program Early Warning and Timely Response has on its website as one of the signs of potential mental instability and violence, intolerance for differences and prejudicial attitudes. This is a very subjective thing, no matter what your beliefs are regarding race, religion, gender, et cetera. And again, these are just really controversial things that make it very difficult to come up with curricula and standards and benchmarks and model curricula. And then finally, again, with an already very crowded academic curriculum, a crowded school day, and large achievement gaps, I don't know that this is as high a priority as perhaps it should be.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
That was very good. You ended right in a minute. Closing statement, Representative Welty.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. Just first of all, going back to my one point, I'm just trying to recall which specific person helped me develop the language, but assistant.
Representative Welty, we believe you.
I just want to make one point. Assistant Commissioner Klinzing and I, Assistant Commissioner Klinzing and I have shared several correspondence about this legislation through phone and through email. So I just want to make that point. Now, members, you know, one student brought this forward, Kayla Murphy, and you heard from Kayla. Kayla is definitely waiting for this legislation to pass. She says that this legislation would be a dream come true, as I'm sure you can imagine after watching her testimony. I don't believe it's too much to ask the Minnesota Department of Education to work with our mental health organizations across the state to develop the best practice resources and get that very important information to our teachers, so that the teachers who are asking for additional information on this very important subject can provide the proper education to their students. Not only will it help thousands of students across the state, it will help many families and it will save lives. Members, I would appreciate it if you could include this in the bill that leaves this committee. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Welty. And House File 666 will be laid over for possible... 664, I'm sorry. for possible inclusion in the omnibus bill. What happened to my perfect memory? I don't know. Okay. Representative Tilbury, you were here early. I'm not doing your bill yet. You're just doing the minutes. Representative Rails, you can start going up there. You get to move the minutes of February 23rd. Representative Tilbury?
So moved.
Representative Tilbury moves the minutes of February 23rd. Any discussion? All in favor say aye. Opposed?
Aye.
Minutes are approved. Representative Swales.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I would like to move House File 2814 to be passed and
Representative Swales moves House File 664.
No, 2814.
Oh my God. 2814, and let's see what it says here. It says it will be laid over for possible inclusion in
the All right. Thank you, Madam Chair. I'd like to introduce Mr. Brad Lundell to explain the bill.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, Brad Lundell here today on behalf of the Minnesota Association for People's Transportation, joined by Dave Peterson, the information officer for the Minnesota Association for People's Transportation. This bill was heard in the Education Policy Committee last week and has been referred here. It characteristically has been included for consideration in the omnibus bill. Two of the provisions in House File 2814 were contained in last year's House version of the omnibus bill, but fell out during the conference committee proceedings because there are some fiscal implications, not in terms of more money being allocated, but small changes in the allocation of special education between school districts. That's not an open standing appropriations, but a static appropriation that costs then are reallocated, and the cost would be a minor, there'd be minor reallocations at most. Looking at Section 1 of the bill, this would allow Area Learning Center transportation between buildings, and districts may provide those that transportation with the Area Learning Centers between buildings if space are permitted on the buses. Subdivision or Section 2 calls for the Department of Education to maintain a list of training programs as opposed to developing training programs. As we've talked earlier today in the previous bill about how the department is short of people to do many things. There are, and I think when this bill was put in place back in 1996, that there were more folks over there and there were things being developed. There's now a sufficient number of curricula developed. And we're just asking the department to maintain those curricula on file and make them available to school districts upon request. The sections 3 and 4 are the two provisions that were in the omnibus bill last year, in the House version of the omnibus bill. Section 3 allows buses or field trips that have a lift bus or to be counted as special ed costs, and then Section 4 is the reporting requirements for the cost allocation, changes in cost allocation. We've worked with the Department of Education on this language for last year. The department once upon a time did have some concerns with this, but in working with Dr. Melcher, we've come up with this compromise language that seems to suit everyone's concerns. With that, I'll turn it over to Dave Peterson for any comments that he might have.
Thank you, Mr. Lundell. Mr. Peterson, welcome.
Representative Bradley, members of the committee, my name is David Peterson. I'm communications officer with the Minnesota Association of People Transportation. And just a couple comments on the cost allocation provision of this bill. In 2005-2006 school year, the department implemented some changes to control costs going into the special ed transportation category, because the special education funding is partially funded by the special education formula in general. In other words, the more costs in the category, the more revenue going to the districts, and there was some level of abuse going on. Department had two pieces of change. One was to control the indirect costs, such as part of superintendent's salary going into the special ed transportation category, and the other was to require all costs to use standard cost allocation for special ed costs. going into that category. Unfortunately, that by having the standard cost, the districts that were not doing anything inappropriate were being punished, along with the districts that were inappropriately allocating costs. We believe that the districts should be able to use the actual route costs when you have a contract and bus company. They know if a food trip is going to cost $100 or $200. Those should be the trips that should be charged to the category when the transportation rates are known by contract. And this provision is strongly supported by MASBO organization has been in their legislative platform for the last couple of years also.
Very good. Thank you. Questions from members? Testimony for or against? Closing statement, Representative Swales. Oh, and one question. Representative Demmer.
Well, thank you, Madam Chair. I guess Representative Swales, the question I would have, is this going to involve reallocating transportation dollars between districts? Are there going to be some that gain, some that lose? And can you give us a feel for that? I don't know if you've studied that or looked at that. I don't want to say winners and losers, but you know what I'm saying is there would be reallocation here. There may be some changes.
Mr. Lundell.
Madam Chair, Representative Demmer, yes, there would be some reallocation because of the way that, but again, I would say that they would be probably very, you know, minor in the way that things are. We're actually moving toward more accurate reporting. So the reallocations would be towards a more accurate allocation of where the dollars should be going.
Representative Demmer, that's good. Okay. Representative Swales.
Madam Chair, I would simply like to renew my motion, if that's all right.
Representative Swales renews her motion that House File 2814 be laid over for possible inclusion in the omnibus bill. Thank you all.
Thank you, Madam Chairman.
Representative Tilbury, now is your time. Representative Tilbury.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'd like to move House File 3022.
Representative Tilbury moves House File 3022 for possible inclusion. Representative Tilbury.
This is supposed to be a technical fix or a correcting of an error that took place. We have something that we appropriated last year in our 2009 omnibus bill that's called the Collaborative Urban Educator Program. Mm-hmm. And it was given $528,000, but it was not divided up, or there was a clause in there that didn't tell where that money should go to. And the three entities that it goes to should be would be Concordia University in St. Paul, University of St. Thomas, and also Hamline University. And if you notice on your House research document, down below on the section for it, where it's under Section 1, and it talks about the money totals, that's actually incorrect also. So we're going to give you the correct numbers on that, and that's $210,000 for Concordia, $159,000 for the University of St. Thomas, and $159,000 for Hamline University, and that's the percentage split that is under statute.
Very
that
good.
That really is it.
Thank you, Representative Tilbury. Pretty straight up. Any questions? Any testimony? Representative Tilbury renews his motion that House File 3022 be laid over for possible inclusion in the omnibus bill. Thank you.
Thank
Fastest
you.
Bill on record. All right, members, the meeting is adjourned.